Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Big news in L.A. Big news. Avery Bradley, their starting shooting guard, has decided against going to Orlando to finish out the season in the bubble. He has a son who has a respiratory illnesses, an issue with his respiratory system. And because of that, Avery wants to stay home with him. And I get it, you know, because that's, George, as you know, part of the thing with this virus. You know, young people don't feel as vulnerable, and we aren't, you know, generally. But you have people in your family, your parents, grandparents, and in younger people who have illnesses that would make them vulnerable. And so I get an Avery Bradley, you know, because you could say, well, Avery could go play and leave his family behind. Now, his whole family would likely stay behind, which is obviously tough for him to be apart for them for basically 3 months. But even if somehow, you know, it was just his son left behind, maybe with a grandparent or something, his son could still get it somehow at home, and then Avery wouldn't be able to go see him. So I'm fine with this decision by Avery Bradley. I mean, family first, man. As much as a championship ring would matter and, you know, the money you'll make and all that, none of that can replace family. And he'd probably never get over it if something happened to his son while he was playing in that bubble.
I always find it interesting when they point to athletes and they say, oh, you don't have to play if you don't like the rules. You don't have to. You're signing up to do this. You do this. Then they tell you to shut up and dribble. They tell you to just go entertain us, right?
Right.
But and that it's a choice. If you don't like the rules, then you don't have to play. And a guy now is choosing to exercise his choice for good reason. I mean, even if he just didn't feel comfortable himself, it still is his own personal choice. And you have a bunch of people slandering the dude and mad at him. I'm like, you can't have it both ways.
Right.
It's either a choice, which it obviously is. This is no different than if Avery Bradley was like, yo, I'm done playing. I don't want to play anymore. I'm out. I'm retiring. Same exact sense. And then decided to come back the next season. Same scenario. But we're dealing with something that is obviously unprecedented. And most importantly, which I feel like I've always been on the side of, which is we don't know what the long-term effects are, even of asymptomatic people. We don't know that because people have had respiratory issues and all of that, which we don't know. And it's so hard to make good quality decisions in the absence of information.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. And the thing here, when we look at it from a basketball standpoint, now people look at Avery Bradley, oh, he averaged 8 points a game. He only played about half the game, 24 minutes. You know, it's not that big of a loss. This is a big loss. And I'm on the record. I picked the Clippers to beat the Lakers in the playoffs and win the championship. I think it's very close. I think the difference in these two teams is slight. And I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, I think those two are better than Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. But it's the depth of the Clippers, and that's my thing. The Clippers had two things over the Lakers, in my estimation, that led me to pick them to win it. Depth and the dog. And if you know what I mean by the dog, I'm talking about the attitude. I know that the Lakers are hungry. LeBron certainly is hungry. But the Clippers from 1 to 15 are hungry, and they got a lot of dogs on that team. Kawhi is a quiet dog, but he's a dog. Patrick Beverly, nothing but dog, all right? Like atomic dog. Marcus Morris. They got Montrezl Harrell. I mean, these dudes are tough, they're gritty, and they are hungry. And now that gap in depth and the dog widens because Avery Bradley is a dog. But he's one of the few that, I mean, Rondo's a dog, but he's older. You know, can he fit next to LeBron because he doesn't shoot the three very well? LeBron, obviously, we know how mentally tough he is. Danny Green is tested and tried, and he's got some dog in him. But down the line, I think the Clippers have far more than the Lakers. And now you're taking away one of the Lakers' mentally toughest players. And here's the other thing, and he doesn't do this all the time. In fact, this was a season high for him. But Avery Bradley, in the one game of the three that the Lakers won against the Clippers, Avery Bradley hit 6 threes, George, and scored a season high 24 points.
He did.
And so it's a big loss. Where you stand, I it makes me a little more confident that the Clippers will prevail.
Chris, this is a case where you won't back off even when you're given evidence that something will not happen. The Lakers should still be favored over the Clippers.
Why?
You are 100% right about them having dogs. I do believe, especially Montrezl Harrell, Patrick Beverley, even though they aren't necessarily the most skilled guys in the league, they add a lot of value with their energy, their defense, their toughness, all of those things. But you are discounting the thing that matters the absolute most in the playoffs. That is star power. And in
Clippers
and
don't have it?
Hold on. Is that stars?
I'm trying to save you
games.
From yourself.
No, stars win playoff series. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And so who has the better two stars? LeBron James and Anthony Davis or Kawhi Leonard and Paul George?
I'll give the Lakers the better two stars.
Thank you, sir.
And I think it goes LeBron, Kawhi, AD, Paul George.
I 100% agree with that.
Here's the thing, George.
Hold on. I let you give you everything.
For 4 years in Miami, LeBron and Wade were probably the best two players. In fact, the one time they weren't the best two players against Oklahoma City, they won. Durant was second best player, but Wade and LeBron won. The other series, they had the two best players against Dallas. They lost. They had the two best players against San Antonio because by that time, Duncan was old. They split.
Here is the thing. When you look at LeBron's, when their championship in Cleveland in 15-16, this man with half of a team,
when?
Still went, huh?
In 2015-16?
Yeah. When
half of a team?
I'm talking. Excuse me, Chris. In the
year
previous
they lost?
Year, yes.
Okay.
In the year they lost, yeah. In 2015, LeBron went out and torched the entire field. He went out and was the best player on the court. Period.
He's gonna be the best player on the court.
So
that's not the question.
So and that always gives you an advantage.
He's been the best player on the court. Paul George, probably 8 of his 9 finals, and he's lost 5 of those 8.
Some of those he was up against the Warriors and the Spurs, which you mentioned when he was young in Cleveland, and
I didn't even count that one because I said eight out of his nine. Duncan was the best player at that one.
Yeah, and when they played against the Warriors, they were just outmatched. And the year that they did win, it was because Draymond was gone. Like that's what gave them the advantage year.
Okay. Why were they outmatched? But they had LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love against Steph, Klay, and Draymond. That's a pretty. I'd actually take LeBron, Kyrie, and Love just individually. Who's better?
Are you the
three of those guys from Golden State? But it's about playing as a team.
It is. And when you look at when the season was halted, the Lakers were 49-14. The Clippers were 44-20. So they were the best team in the league at that point. Granted,
but
the
they
Clippers
lost
did,
twice
hold on,
to
hold on.
The Clippers, the, once without Paul George.
How many times have we seen teams go 0-for in the year and then beat them in the playoffs? How many times have we seen teams have the best record in the regular season
and it's irrelevant? I don't care about that. LeBron never
you're
had
the, one
the
who
best
brought
record
it up.
In the East. You did. You brought up the Lakers were 49.
Hold on.
And
but But the point the point I was making
Clippers
in
miss
that
half the game. The stars are missing games.
That's exactly the point, Chris. Is that the Clippers have had their team? They haven't had a chance.
No, they
have jail. No, they haven't had a chance to gel, and they haven't been able to practice together during this whole pandemic. Granted, it's a situation where all their players should be healthy when they come back. But aside from right before the pandemic hit and the season was halted, that was their best stretch where they won 7 out of their last 10 games. But before
the
that,
Clippers?
They played well
the whole year.
Chris, they were inconsistent. Would you not agree with that? They have losses.
I would not agree with that.
They have losses.
I would not agree with that.
In February, they lost to Sacramento.
I mean,
lost
it's the NBA.
They lost to Sacramento twice. They lost to Sacramento twice in 30 days, Chris.
Fine.
I'm just saying that
they won 44 out of what they were 44 and 20. I don't think that's inconsistent. When Kawhi missed 13, George missed 22.
They had
Patrick Beverly missed 16. Would you agree?
Would you agree that this team has not had a chance to gel and play together very much?
They weren't doing that. Like
I'm asking you, have they had a chance?
But they still were very good.
Now I never said they weren't a bad team. But when your team can't play together and you don't have a chance to use all them dogs that you talk about, all the pieces and all of that, when you don't have a chance to gel. It doesn't matter how much of a collection of talent that you have. You can put the whole entire All-Star team together against a very good quality team who is gelled, who knows their plays, who has good instincts together. And that's the difference, because we have heard rumors about the Lakers practicing in Bel Air in secret.
Well, rumors. We don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah.
And they don't think the Clippers haven't been getting together either.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, what do you think about these reports and about Antonio Brown in Baltimore? Kind of conflicting reports out there, but there's talk that Seattle and Baltimore could be interested in Antonio Brown. Do you like the sound of either of those?
Yes, because I like both of those teams. And Antonio Brown is still one of the best wide receivers in all of football. Now, here is the problem with Antonio Brown, is that you have to do a risk assessment, because the most important thing that you have to get out of Antonio Brown is if you can get him in the building, you got a good player. It's the ancillary outside of football that has been the issue since he's been out of football. But when you look at the locker room, as long as he's been in the locker room, he showed up and played. He has been there and all of that, except for when he, you know, was exiting at that last week out of Pittsburgh. But aside from that, like, he hasn't had problems with his teammates.
Not with the teammates.
Correct. So aside from having a problem with, most wide receivers do with their quarterbacks at some point in time, that's fine. That's immaterial. He does not have a problem coexisting with his teammates. Now, the problem that exists with some players is that I do believe Antonio Brown had some personal stuff going on, got the big head a little bit, and was like, wait, hold up. And this whole being out of football, that's been very humbling for him. And the biggest thing that we've seen out of him was the last thing that we saw was like, yo, I messed up. I'm doing this all wrong. Like, and that's the thing that you have to do. And unfortunately, he is almost to the point where you have to pull the nuclear button, which is Because people will forgive you if you have a serious problem. If he was either like, oh, I was having a drug addiction or I was having a mental breakdown or something, people will forgive you and give you a second chance for that. But I don't think it's going to take the nuclear button. But if he messes this up, that will be the only chance, because you see how many chances people are willing to give and the empathy that they have for Josh Gordon. Right. and the kid from the Cowboys as well. People have empathy when there are problems, but if you don't admit there's a problem and push that nuclear button, then people won't trust you.
Well, first of all, there is the obstacle of the whole sexual harassment and cases and things like that. So he's got a lot of mountains to climb before he's even able to play, if indeed a team does want him. I would really like him in Seattle, because obviously they're very good. But like you said, both teams are very good. Seattle's got the running game with Chris Carson. But I think next year, DJ Metcalf is going to be better. So I think their receiving game improves a little bit even without an AB. But you give them an AB, and now you've got a legitimate receiving game with Russell Wilson. I like that.
That is the optimal team out of those two teams. That's the, and probably out of any team, that could be the best team for him to go to is Seattle, because you look at what Russell Wilson did with Lockett last year. Lockett has not been a number one receiver at any point in time in his college or pro career. Nobody looked at him as a guy like that. And then you have DK Metcalf, who is coming into his own and to be able to learn from a guy, because there is no dispute about how hard Antonio Brown works, his route running, all the things that he does to prepare to win, and showing the young receivers that are as talented as DK Metcalf can be phenomenal. And Russell Wilson, who is one of the best quarterbacks of all time, when he had Doug Baldwin, he made Doug Baldwin into a Pro Bowl wide receiver. So if you actually give him a dog like Antonio Brown,
is great in his own right.
Like that'll be fantastic. And I don't believe that Antonio Brown would be quite as happy in Baltimore, because Baltimore's focus is running the football. And you're going to get a lot, and your wide receivers aren't going to be able to put up the numbers, and Antonio's not going to get the targets that he's going to desire there, which could lead to friction.
Yeah, I was going to say that myself. And I don't know if, he's been working out with Lamar. We know over time, we've seen them working out together with Hollywood Brown, his cousin. Do you wonder, does he have enough of a relationship with Lamar where it wouldn't be a problem? But Lamar's young, even as accomplished as he is, he's young. And would Antonio respect him enough if indeed he's not getting the ball the way he wants? And like you said, that could be an issue with Lamar. I want to go here with Lamar while we're there. Are you concerned about playoff Lamar? Just hear me out. We know he put up the huge numbers last year against Tennessee, but they lost 28-12. We're never really in the game. It was 28-6 at one point. And he's 0-2 in the NFL in playoff games. He's got 3 touchdowns and 5 turnovers in those games. And if you include college bowl games and NFL playoff games, he's 1-4, 10 touchdowns, 10 turnovers. This is what I want to ask. Is his style, because he runs so well, and he's becoming a better thrower, but obviously the run is huge for him. He ran out for almost 150 yards in last year's playoff game against the Titans. Is his style, if you think about college bowl games and NFL playoff games, they've got one thing in common. You get a lot of time to prepare for your opponent. And when you see a guy in the regular season, you get that week, but that's it. When in the playoffs, you get at least 2 weeks, you get longer. And so, or 2 weeks in the for their games. Do you think that teams figure him out in the playoffs and that will be a longstanding problem? Or do you think it's just, hey, it's a young guy, he's terrific, he's learning how to win, and he'll get over the hump without question.
Lamar Jackson has improved as a passer every single season. And yes, the Ravens style of play of running the ball, play action, all of that stuff, it creates unique situations for the defense. And in the and then in the playoffs, you're against the best defensive coordinators, the best players, all of that stuff. So I would say that if you look at Lamar Jackson's first playoff season versus his second playoff season, it was a huge difference. He threw the ball. Yeah, he threw the ball for almost double the amount of yards. He did throw two interceptions, but
had a fumble.
That's the growth that a player has, because he is the difference between when you look at a Russell Wilson early in his career, a Ben Roethlisberger early in their career. They were able to win early, partially because their defense was so phenomenal, their running game was so phenomenal, and they didn't have as much pressure to be the guy. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like the game was going to be or lost on their arms. And Lamar Jackson was the complete opposite. He was the MVP this year. He put up outrageous, like, video game numbers. He threw for over 3,000 yards. He ran for over 1,000. Like, it was just insane, like, the amount of stats that he was putting up, and he deserved the MVP. But this season coming up, I mean, granted, it's a pandemic season. There's all type of stuff in the offseason. But this is where you should – that year three for quarterbacks is where you see that growth. And if Lamar Jackson puts up all of these numbers in the regular season again – and then even if he loses in the playoffs, but it's a better performance, you're moving in the right direction, which is all you can ask for, a chance to go to the playoffs every single year and your quarterback be getting better. That means eventually you are going to bust down that door and his passing's getting better. Like, all of the intangibles, his leadership, all of that. So there's nothing that I am looking down on or am concerned about with Lamar Jackson at this point.
How do you think the balance will be as far as running versus passing this year? Like, do you expect them to run for 1,000 yards again, number one? And number two, we know he's got it. The one thing he's got to improve on with his passing, or one of the things, but the major thing I would say, is throwing it outside of the lines. You know, like outside the numbers. Like, that's where he didn't – their leading receiver was a tight end last year. So he's got to get the ball to his receivers outside the numbers. Where do you think he'll be on the running and on that aspect of his passing game?
As players get older and more mature, they stay in the pocket more. So I do expect his running numbers to go down, which will actually – well, his running attempts to go down, but his numbers may still be the same. Because the better passer that he becomes, the more defenses have to honor them in the secondary, which means that there are going to be more open running lanes. So he'll be able to run for more yards per carry while running less amount of times. But the one thing that he's got to improve on is his completion percentage. He did complete 66% of his passes last year after 58% his rookie year. But those numbers are deceiving, because a lot of that is Jimmy Garoppolo numbers, which is like, you're when you're running dump so off. Much off of play action, like when you're off of play action, the linebackers suck up, you're throwing very high percentage passes to guys who are virtually wide open. So it's going to become throwing in space, and fitting the ball outside the numbers, inside of those small windows in must-pass situations. Like when the defense knows that you're going to pass, which is where Jimmy Garoppolo struggles. When they know you're going to pass and not run it, that's what separates the elite quarterbacks and the Super Bowl champions from other guys. You have to be able to throw when everybody in the stadium knows it's 3rd and 13, you're not going to run it, complete a pass, or 3rd and 9, let's see what you got.
What do you think about throwing outside of the numbers?
He had done fine off of play action, but when it is straight out of shotgun and he's not on the move and there's no threat of running, that's where he's got to improve. Like, he's got to improve on those must pass situations, on the comeback routes, on the out routes, a bit, because he does a good job of throwing posts in particular, because all that's kind of in your vision, in your sight window. But it's when you have to look those safeties off, throw that corner route, and you are, you know, and there's such a small margin for error.
Right.
And when you can't be a yard off that way or this way, that's where he's got to improve. And I think that's where he's going to be able to separate himself from, you know, a more talented passer like Deshaun Watson in Houston. He doesn't have the athletic running gifts like Lamar does, even though he's very mobile, but his passing accuracy is where that they've been a little bit different.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Our man, Antonio Daniels, Sirius XM NBA radio host, and in New Orleans Pelicans TV color analyst, NBA champion. What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm good, fellas. Hey, I got to tell you, I love when people mess up sayings, like really popular sayings. Like, this is a sprint. This is a sprint, not a marathon. No.
Hey.
Avery Johnson used to always say in the locker room, we got too many Indians and not enough Chiefs. Like, wait a minute, that's not right.
He used to say that during like a pregame speech.
Yes, we got too many Indians and not enough Chiefs. Like, okay.
Hey, even though players mess up.
That's
right.
Antonio, look, I think the loss of Avery Bradley is big. I'm not saying the Lakers, because LeBron and AD are so good, they can't overcome it.
Right.
I picked the Clippers. I think this gives the Clippers even more of an advantage. Where are you at on the Avery Bradley loss and what that could mean for this team?
Well, first and foremost, I really admire him for what he has done. I think we understand the power of sports in this culture. And for him to actually take a stand by that and say, you know what, I'm not going because his family is more important than what he has going on as far as sports is concerned. First and foremost, I commend him for being a man of his word and doing that. Second,
right.
I think he's a pretty big piece of what they do. As far as perimeter defense is concerned, as far as an outside threat is concerned. But that's not to say that role players can be replaced. You know, I was a role player in the league for 13 years, and I always understood, man, look, I know I can be replaced. LeBron James can't be replaced. Anthony Davis can't be replaced. There are certain guys that bring things to the table that can't be replaced. And as much as I love Avery Bradley as a person and as a player, maybe there's a player out there that can bring something different that can benefit the Lakers in a different manner.
Yep, maybe Kyle Kuzma goes up from 12.5 points a game to 20 points a game and actually starts living up to expectations. But Antonio, I want to segue a second to the team that you cover, the Pelicans. And a lot of people have been talking about, you know, that the NBA is trying to make sure Zion gets in the playoffs and all of this. What do you expect to see from Zion when the season returns, and can they make the playoffs and get those ratings up big time?
I had from where we were when the season was postponed March 10th or 11th, I had the Pelicans making the playoffs. Obviously, because of the remaining schedule was, I don't want to say light, but it was the easiest remaining schedule in the NBA. My thought has not changed. I still think that the Pelicans will make the playoffs. That's not to downplay Memphis. That's not to downplay Portland. I think San Antonio is going to struggle, obviously, without LaMarcus Aldridge. But I still think the Pelicans have what it takes, and I still have them making the playoffs. They were playing really, really good basketball when the season was postponed, and I can't be biased with this. And I say that because, it doesn't matter how a team was playing in March. Because now here we sit 3 or 4 months later, and now you got to start all over again. You got to start all over with your energy, your camaraderie, your chemistry, and your rhythm. So who knows how a team is going to pick up coming out of this pandemic. But I will not change my thought on certain things. One, I feel the Clippers are still going to be the NBA champions. That's who I picked when the season started. I picked the Pelicans to make the playoffs. And my third thing, I think that this season should not have an asterisk by it, but whoever is this year's NBA champion should get more credit than any NBA champion in history.
Wow. Well, go ahead and expound on why you feel that way. Not because the asterisk, because I agree with you on that, but the
you know, you keep hearing asterisks and asterisks, and asterisk basically means someone has a competitive advantage. No one had a competitive advantage here. All 30 teams were hit by the coronavirus. And if you look at the circumstances that have come out of this COVID-19, whoever is the eventual NBA champion, they've had to deal with things no other champion has had to deal with. They don't have a home court advantage. They'll be in a bubble for 2 to 3 months. They'll be quarantined. There's no fans. There's a lot that they have to overcome, you know, as far as energy is concerned. You know, you guys know when you walk into the arena, there's an ambiance for playoff games. There's an ambiance for Western Conference and Eastern Conference Finals games. And there is a clear-cut atmosphere for NBA Finals. None of that will be present. So you're asking players for the next 2 to 3 months to bring their own energy like a 9 o'clock a.m. AAU basketball game. They deserve credit for that.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that they have to overcome is the fact that everybody should be healthy. Like, all teams will be at full strength, whereas the season turns out to be a grind for a lot of teams. So I think that that's the biggest reason that there will be, that there should be no asterisks, and that they should get a lot more credit.
But will every team be healthy, though? That's the thing. Will every team be healthy? And that's another thing that these teams have
and
to deal
the
with
virus
that no one else ever
teams.
Has. Yeah, you have a 3 to 4 month hiatus, 60, 65 games into the season. No one's ever had to deal with that. Now you also have the other piece. Even if teams are healthy, now you have players opting out and choosing to stay home. So you don't know how you're going. You don't know what team you're going to get coming out of this global pandemic.
We got about a minute or two left, Antonio. Let me ask you this. The Pelicans, we know they're a young team. I know you got Drew Holiday, you know, and maybe another veteran or two, but mostly they're a young team. Is it fair to wonder how Alonzo, how a Zion, who, you know, could gain weight, might not have the greatest diet during the pandemic, is it fair, and how will they handle the bubble, you know, being in that confined atmosphere for 3 months versus some of these veteran teams? Is it fair to wonder if the younger teams, including the Pelicans, might not respond best to this 3 or 4 month hiatus and then being in the bubble?
Well, I think that you can have that same thought process about all 22 teams, because none of them have ever had to deal with this before. But with that being said, I also feel like the lack of a home court advantage hurts the younger teams. When you talk about the Pelicans and you talk about Memphis and some of these young teams like that, because they feed off their home crowd. You look at somebody like LeBron James. He's been through every possible playoff scenario. Kawhi Leonard, every possible playoff scenario. So home court is not as important to those guys that are battle-tested and experienced when it comes playoff time. But when you're talking about teams that are young and that are inexperienced and that feed off the energy of that home court, I think this is where the youth and the lack of experience will hurt some of these younger basketball teams.
Great stuff. That's our man, Antonio Daniels. Man, how you doing during this pandemic?
I'm good, brother. I am good. I am. This has been a lot of family time for me. You know, a blessing in disguise. You know, my son just turned 2 years old. Every day I'm here. I get to put him to bed, wake up with him. So this is a blessing in disguise for me and my family.
That's great, man. I hear you. Well, we'll get you on soon, man. We appreciate the time as always.
As always, my pleasure, fellas. Thanks.
All right, brother. All right, peace. Thanks.